Chinwag with Sister Bang Bang. Welcome along to Chinwag with yours truly, Sister Bang Bang, the Manchester Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. Stand by for lots of malicious gossip, wicked chit-chat,
and nothing but the whole truth.
No way.
It's Chinwag with Sister Bang Bang.
What's more?
Today's show contains words of wisdom, sublime words, and rude words too. So if you're of a nervous disposition, fly away, my pretty. If, however, you're made of sterner stuff, then settle back for another fabulous edition of...
Well, hello, kids. Another fabulous edition of Chinwag just for you. And today my show is created with love and envy. My guest is the artist, drag queen, and actor, Anna Phylactic, and I envy this gorgeous creature, I really do. I only have to spend a millisecond looking at her to want to look and dress just like her, maybe one day. Instead, we found a cheap cafe down some dark and seedy side street, and I began by asking that all-empowering question... Who the hell are you?
I am many things to many people. I'm a drag queen that works on the village mainly, but I kind of bob about here, there and everywhere, really. Doing my thing.
Your thing? What's your thing?
Doing my thing. Looking fabulous and having a lovely time.
Now, you do have to, I have to say, you do look amazing.
Thank you, Bang Bang.
You've got this very unique look, which I've seen develop. I mean, your Facebook profile.
Yeah.
I've seen that the way that you've come from, well, looking really plain and ordinary and quite boring.
Bang, bang, don't sugar the pill.
To looking, you know, really quite glamorous. No matter what outfit you go for, you have a certain look now, don't you?
Yeah, I think so. It's quite theatrical.
How's that sort of developed? Is it come from, I don't know, were you a prostitute in a former life or something?
No, definitely. Well, I could have been. I don't know. I can't remember. I blank a lot out.
Alcohol
does that to a girl. I don't know. It's just something that's developed over time. I mean, when I first started Anna, Violet loves to re-tag all my old pictures on Facebook, so they keep cropping up all of the time.
Right.
So my first look was kind of a mixture of Tina Turner and a bumblebee and kind of hazard tape wrapped around my head, and it's all a bit bizarre, really. So you look back and you go, oh my God, what was I thinking? But yeah, it's just something that's kind of developed over time. So sometimes I'll take a long time kind of working out what I'm going to wear, and then other times I'll just kind of bung something on my head and hope for the best. And sometimes it works, actually.
Let's describe it. It's sort of, is it like a white face to start with?
Mainly it's kind of a white face, so it's kind of, I mean, I come from a theatrical background anyway, so it's got all kind of very clowny, kind of theatrical, but I'll play with the colours as well, so kind of I like my blues and my pinks, and it's all kind of gone a bit drippy and splattery and kind of neon at the moment, which I quite like.
I love that drippy and splattery.
Yeah, something quite manic. And
it is, but you're looking now, you've got this amazing, fabulous sort of split liver mouth look, haven't you?
Split
liver.
Big clowny kind of smiley mouth.
Yeah.
A bit jokery.
Yes. Makes me wonder what you like underneath all that.
I'm the same. It's a reflection of my inside, I think.
So how did Anna come about? Why did you decide this is what I wanted to do?
Well, I kind of always kind of toyed with kind of drag and dressing up, and I guess that's what kind of attracted me to the theatre originally. Like, I once got into trouble off one of my tutors because I said that the main thing that I enjoyed about theatre was dressing up. and having a spotlight on me, and it kind of went onto a big tirade about, well, theatre is it's more about that stuff than that.
Yeah. I was like,
for me it's not, actually. I just quite like dressing up. My favourite job was, I did like a film and I got to be made up for 40 minutes in a makeup chair and kind of dressed in most outrageous outfits, and that's what I kind of enjoyed, really. So that's why I enjoyed enjoyed drag, I think. I think it would be boring for me if I kind of wore the same thing over and over again. Like, I think part of the attraction is kind of playing with the clothes and the makeup and being a bit wacky. And
do you find it sort of a bit of a mask for you, that it's still you, but it's a little slice of you which you put a big spotlight on?
Yeah, definitely. Like, I think it is kind of, it's odd, because I think it is an extension of you, so it's not necessarily, I mean, any character that you play always comes from yourself anyway. So even if you're playing Macbeth, for instance, like, you have to connect with what's written on the page. Macbeth isn't you, but you've got to find a connection to that character somehow, so that comes from inside of you. It can't come from anywhere else. It's part of you. So you've got to find that really dark kind of part of yourself that would aspire to, you know, killing someone and whatever. So any character that you play...
Something you're trying to tell
me. I'm not saying that I'm a murderer. I'm just saying that anything that comes from... anything that you connect with or present to the world comes from part of you. So that might not be your writing, but you're connecting with something, and that's when you can see a good actor and a bad actor, or someone that's cast in the wrong part, for example, that can't connect to a certain thing. So I think anything that I've kind of presented with Anna is from a natural place, because doing that and socialising and making the connections and stuff that I have done, like playing a character that isn't part of me. God, I'm babbling, aren't I?
No, that's fine.
Wouldn't be true or wouldn't be right, really. So it is what is interesting about drag and costume and things, it does kind of change you. It changes the way you behave, the way you walk, the way you present yourself to the world. So kind of quite a lot of the time, like, as a boy, you're kind of made to wear all these kind of really dull drab things that are fashionable now, which I don't like. As a boy, it can kind of really easily disappear into the background, whereas with Anna, you're given all these tools and stuff, and you don't have to. You can be this kind of big beacon of showy off magic.
I mean, that's the great... Well, I mean, one thing with me being Sister Bang Bang is I'm always like this, obviously, and thank God I'm not, you know, boring and you know, drab like you're saying,
I could be. I always think of it a bit like Anna is my superhero alternative. So like in real life I'm Clark Kent, and then, you know, I'll go into a phone box at night time and I'll become anaphylactic.
I quite like that, you with a little glitter cape on.
Yeah.
Actually, you don't really go for much glitter, do you? It's more outrageous colours and contrast.
I do dabble with glitter occasionally, but don't tell anyone.
Oh, right. Just a little sprinkle.
Little sprinkle.
It's probably
there
what your footprints reveal when you walk, isn't it?
Yeah.
Glitter footprints.
Little patches of glitter.
Yeah. What you mentioned about, you know, talking with people, and it's something I've noticed as well. You can get away with blue murder, can't you, really?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I mean,
you could really do anything you want with the punters.
I guess what drag does do is kind of people want to talk to you and want to connect to you, so you're kind of hosting, you're kind of then people want to come over and engage with you. Like, whereas if I wasn't kind of standing out like a sort of, if I wasn't wearing a big purple frock and a kind of bit that people wouldn't be drawn to. So people kind of want to come over and engage with you and hang out with you and be your friend. Whereas I think if they met me in my alter ego, well, which happens occasionally, which is quite embarrassing, you kind of wave at someone across the bar and they don't know who the fuck you are.
It looks like over their shoulders, you
know, or something. Who is that? What's waving at me? So, it is interesting.
Right. What inspires you to come up with an idea then? You've got to do the hair, you've got to do the makeup, you've got to do the costume. And I don't know, there seems to be an awful lot of work going into it, or do you just throw it together?
Well, it's kind of a mixture, really. Like, quite a lot of the time I think I make more work for myself than I really need to. So I kind of have this thing in my head where I'm like, oh, I haven't done enough, so I've got to do this. And it's stuff that people wouldn't actually notice when you look back. You go, oh, I spent all that time writing out a poem on a piece of paper to fold it up into an origami moth to stick on my head that no one has even noticed that there's a poem on there. You know, but there's kind of a meaning behind stuff I try to do anyway. But other times, like especially recently, I've had quite a few gigs and I'm knackered, and then Saturday's here already, and you go, oh fuck, I haven't even thought about what I'm wearing, and you just kind of rummage and you find something. And actually sometimes that look kind of without much thought, and you kind of pull a few things together and go, oh, I think that'll work, I'll try that. Like, that actually gets a better response than some of the stuff you spend like 20 hours like hot glue gunning and sewing. And
is it expensive then?
Yeah. Again, like, it's something, I don't know, because I quite enjoy doing all that anyway. I quite like making and gluing and doing.
Where do you do
like
this?
Oh, we've got a drag lab. So we used to have, who's we? It's now a few of us. So it's me, Cheddar, Grace, Lil, Miss Blair and Licorice, and Rudy, who's a photographer. We all share like a big space that is linked to Mill, where we all kind of make and do. And
wow. That'd be great to have a look at.
Yeah,
it's a mad like drag cave.
Yeah, drag cave. Yeah. So we've all got our own little areas, and then a big area where we can spray and make, and, you know, sew on machines and stuff. But we used to have a space over in the Northern Quarter before we moved, which was just me and Cheddar.
You're listening to Chinwag with myself, Sister Bang Bang, and my lovely guest today is Anna Falanti.
Hey, yes, you! You want to find out more about the Manchester Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, don't you? The history, how to join us, and hundreds of hints and tips for a good night out. Well, not hundreds, but certainly quite a few. So, kids, stop obsessing about Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram for one moment and get on over to www.themanchestersisters.org to find out about me and the other fabulous sisters. It's as simple as that. www.themanchestersisters.org. Mwah. You're listening to Sister Bang Bang's Chinwag.
Yes, it's Chinwag with Sister Bang Bang. Another fantastic, marvellous, rather tasty, scrumptious episode with the lovely Miss Anna Falakti.
Hello.
Hello. You're quite a mainstay on the Manchester gay scene now, aren't you? I know you do other gigs as well, out and about, but it's this alternative drag which seems to be kicking in Manchester now, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what we get called, the alternative drag.
Well, you don't go like for looking like Shirley Bassey or... Yeah, nothing
that's
wrong
true.
With that, but
yeah,
you're very, very individual.
It's true, but I always say, actually, that... Because there seems to be a kind of divide between drag, and then we get lumbered with alternative drag, which is fine, actually. And I suppose some of it is a bit different, like, you know, I am painting my face purple and whatever, but quite a lot of the things that I do kind of hark back to drag before kind of Shirley Bassey, before that kind of thing. So I'll wear kind of clothing that's from Restoration period or Elizabethan period and kind of mix it up with a kind of modern thing. So coming from a theatre background, you know, what I find interesting about drag is that different things in different time periods are for males or for females. And it used to be fashionable for men to wear makeup, men to wear tights, men to wear high heels. And, you know, for me, drag is drag. Like, there shouldn't be two different camps. Like, it's all playing and men wearing dresses, isn't it?
Well, I mean,
ridiculous.
Isn't all that we do drag? I mean, you know, even like leather queens really
exactly.
are in drag.
That's drag, yeah. It's all drag.
It's all dressing up.
RuPaul says that, doesn't he? Like, everyone's born naked, the rest is drag.
It's drag.
It's true.
Yeah. So, it is fabulous.
I do find the whole two camps thing quite funny because we all work on the stretch, we all work on different venues and.
Yeah. No, or like Canal Street being the, I suppose it's the main street in Manchester's gay village, isn't it?
Yeah.
All of those of you who are not aware, just filling you in there.
Yeah, a little bit of info.
Yes.
Yeah.
What sort of backbiting goes on then?
Backbiting.
Can you share
a lot of backbiting. It's very bizarre. Like, I think there's a lot of kind of. Kind of rivalry actually, which is really odd. Like, and I didn't expect to, like, because I was just kind of dressing up and having a lovely time initially, working for a house night. So I basically stand up, dress up on a door, and then get horribly drunk with everyone. So there wasn't much of a kind of act or anything necessarily. Whereas I've kind of started to dabble with that now because, yeah, obviously I've got a history of being in performing arts and theatre and stuff, and the two worlds are kind of married now. So while I'm doing theatre projects based on the fact that I do drag and doing cabaret things, and that's kind of developed more. There's definitely a kind of rivalry. Like, I walked into a venue as a boy, and like, I was getting talked about on stage as anaphylactic by another drag queen, so I waited for her to come off stage and then just kind of introduced myself and said, please don't talk about me.
She didn't know you were
and then,
there.
No, and then kind of had to backtrack and was telling me that she really respected me as an artist. I was like, no, you didn't. You were just slagging me off on stage. So it's very bizarre, really.
I suppose there's a big difference between, you know, slagging somebody off and being camply, comedically bitchy, isn't there?
Maybe it was supposed to be that, but I don't think I was in on the joke, really, which kind of made it less campy.
Yes.
Fun, really.
No, that's not nice. Are you enjoying your coffee, by the way?
This is my first sip, because it's really hot. So I've just been blowing on it manically while I've been talking.
I thought it was just because it was keeping you chatting.
No, I was waiting for it to cool down a little bit. Yeah, but it's cool, and it's... My first taste of the coffee was very nice, bang bang.
Good, it's not bad actually, is it?
It's alright.
We did attempt to go into a posh hotel because we wanted, I don't know, a little bit of Edwardian grandeur.
Yeah, and it looked grand, but they were closed.
But yes, the poor man there was almost in tears, wasn't he? Bless him.
But he sent us here, and I think it's all right, isn't it?
It's all right.
Yeah. It's all right.
I think we should have taken the Christmas decorations down by now. But...
Yeah, possibly.
Now, as always on Chinwag, I have Bang Bang's Quick Six.
Oh, it's the Quick Six.
It's the Quick Six. Are you ready for the Quick Six?
Okay, let me have another sip of coffee.
Okay, then. You're listening to Chinwag, of course, with Sister Bang Bang and my lovely guest, Anna Filiatric.
Hello!
Are you receiving us, Earth? Are you receiving us, Earth?
Malicious gossip, wicked chit-chat, and nothing but the whole truth. It's Chinwag with Sister Bang Bang. Goodbye.
Joy Bomb. Hi friends, it's Sister Indica, your homegirl for life. Not only am I gorgeous, not only am I a sister of perpetual indulgence, but I'm also host of the podcast Joy Bomb, where I rant and rave about pop culture, politics, music, TV, and more. I interview all sorts of interesting people and play underground music you probably don't know, but should. So what's stopping you? Subscribe on iTunes.
Joy Bomb.
If it's good enough for Sister Bang Bang, it's good enough for you.
Ready at the back there, it's time for Sister Bang Bang's Quick Six.
Yes, it's Chinwag with myself. I nearly forgot my name then. Sister Bang Bang. You see
bang,
that
bang,
little
dear,
there?
Bang Bang.
It is Bang Bang, isn't it? Yes. And my lovely guest, Anna Filiatric.
Hello there.
Now, we're going to play Bang Bang's Quick Six now. Just a little bit of background here. You've got six questions. They're all alternative. It's an either-or situation.
Either-or, okay.
The rule is, though, you can't ask for further explanation.
Oh, God. No, you know I'm going to do that straight away, don't you? It's when you tell someone to not lick their lips after eating a jam donut. Okay, go on.
Often do that?
Yeah, I do it all the time, just because people tell me I can't.
Or do you say, excuse me, don't lick your lips after jam donuts?
It's a fair.
No, it's like it's a challenge, isn't it? It's like a game that you play with people that eat jam donuts.
All right, yes. Don't blink now for the next 2 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, don't. All right, here we go. Here's question one with Bang Bang's Quick Six. Tea or coffee?
Coffee. Because it wakes you up, and I need waking up quite a lot of the time. I'm a tired old queen.
What about a mallet? That would be more effective.
Your heart! Well, if you're prepared to sit by my bed with a mallet to get me up, then yes.
Oh, that would be so nice to be able to do that. Yeah, it's a huge mallet.
Yeah, huge mallet.
Huge mallet, yes. Question two in Bang Bang's Quick Six. Veg or meat?
I'm going to go for meat, actually. I know that's probably quite controversial.
Not at all.
I like a meaty dish. I do. I'm not even going to lie to you. I like all kinds of meat. I quite like... Do you know what I like at the moment? I like beef sashimi. Like, you know, kind of like raw beef, essentially, isn't it? But kind of all Japanese-y with a bit of like a Japanese horseradish to...
Oh, so you like filling your mouth with a bit of meat then, do you?
You're a saucy devil, you. It's too early for this. Yes, I do. I like meat. I like vegetables, but I like meat more. And I'm not going to back down from that, God damn it.
Fist in the air.
Yeah. Yes.
You're going to be meaty. Or why not? Okay, lovely. Number three, question three in Bang Bang's Quick Six. Bitch or butch? That's a little high-pitched.
Can I go for both? I'm not allowed both, am I? Can I be a Betty both?
I told you, you can't ask questions. You've just got to do it.
Oh, sorry, see.
Just do what
I said
you
I was going to do it. I'm going to go for bitch.
All right.
I'm going to go for bitch, yeah. Because I've never been butch, and I can't be butch, so I'm going to go for bitch. I kind of connect with that more, I think.
What are you, a bitch, then? Are you a foul-mouthed bitch?
I'm not a foul-mouthed bitch. Well, I can be sometimes. I guess I need to be pushed to be a foul-mouthed bitch. But, yeah, I definitely can be, I think. Like, I don't think I am a lot of the time, but I can certainly find my inner bitch when I need to. Definitely.
I quite like that. Channeling my inner bitch.
That'll be my first book, that.
Channeling my... No, I'm sorry. How to channel your inner bitch.
Yeah.
I quite like that. Shall we work on it together?
Yeah, let's do it. I'm up for that.
Yeah, with Anna and Bang Bang. I quite like that. It'll be a coffee table book.
Yeah. Lots of pictures. And
something that you can finger through.
Yeah, kind of a bit like yoga, but...
But not.
With lipstick.
A bit like yoga with lipstick.
Yeah.
Right. Might have to meet you. Speak to you more on that one.
Okay, yeah, we'll talk about it.
Okay, moving onwards. Number four. Question four in Bang Bang's Quick Six. Money or fame?
I'm just gonna make noises at you. I'm gonna go for money because I need to pay my bills, really. But I don't know. Like, money. Money's more important than fame, I think.
Yeah.
So what? Just because you need to eat, don't you? You need to pay your bills. And
but would fame bring you money?
Oh, yeah, actually, yeah, I'm going to go with fame. Yeah, I've changed my answer, but now you've swayed me.
I love the way you're so determined, Anna, in your quiz report.
I know, that's the thing. Like, I just kind of bimble through life, and stuff happens to me. And I'm quite a relaxed person, so I think if I was any more relaxed, I'd be kind of laid down, really.
You'd be unconscious, wouldn't you, really?
I think stuff just kind of happens and I go with it. So people say, like, I mean, with the whole drag thing, like, I was kind of, that was someone else kind of going, oh, do you want to dress up for my club night? And I was like, yeah, go on then, because I quite like doing it at parties. And then all of a sudden my life's kind of going down this drag route. So I think it's just people kind of go, oh, do this. And I go, okay.
Yeah. I noticed actually there's a little speck of glitter already on you.
I can't get rid of it. It's my life.
It's the thing about
it's
glitter,
the life
though.
I chose.
You'll be pooing glitter, won't you? I'm not asking you to check.
Yeah. Hold on. Just check. No. Glitter tends to get everywhere. Yeah.
And I'll have to, a little aside then. How do you get rid of glitter? Little tip.
I've got a little tip. You can do like the inside of a wig, if you turn a wig inside out. Not a good one, you want like a rubbish one, but if you just kind of rub that, it picks up all the glitter bits.
Makes you wonder what's on the inside of a wig.
Yeah. Well, you have to find an old one. You don't want to use one of your good lace.
It's be full of like dead nits and grease and everything.
Yeah, not mine. I use other people.
This digs deeper into the life of anaphylactic here, that she goes rummaging in bins for other people's old wigs.
Yeah.
Is that where you get a lot of your costumes from then? Like,
sometimes it's not about buying expensive, really good stuff. It's about utilising stuff that probably no one else would have, isn't it? Like, I think if I ever kind of gave up drag, there's just mountains of stuff that not even charity shops would want to take off me. But I think sometimes the more interesting things are things that you wouldn't necessarily spend a lot of money on, and things. It's what you make of stuff, isn't it? It's what you kind of create out of rubbish, essentially, that you can make fabulous, because none of us have got a lot of money, have we?
No, definitely not. There's certainly, I think one of the best places is those skips that you find outside art colleges and art universities at the end of term.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen them? They have these big skips because they've got rid of all the...
What's the address, bang back? Just write this on my notepad.
Just down Oxford Road in Manchester, yeah.
Okay.
The end of any term, all the students just get rid of all that work. They just bin it and all bits that go with it. So there's mountains and mountains of crap, but it's all artistic crap.
Oh, that's cool. Well, I like artistic crap. We've got a fun thing at the Islington Mill, because obviously it's all kind of studios and different artists that work in the building. So we've got a creative exchange. So stuff that you don't want anymore that's kind of taking up space, you kind of put in the creative exchange, and people are free to help themselves to paint or whatever is in there, really. So that's quite a fun place to have a rummage. And
this is where your drag studio is?
Yeah. So our drag studio is based in Islington Mill at the moment.
Makes me wonder whether I should do a programme from there, you know, and Bang Bang's Chinwag from
this. Islington Mill, from the drag lab. Yeah, you could talk to all the drags in the drag lab. Yeah,
as you're getting ready, that would be... Oh, yeah. Well, not necessarily getting ready, but as you're preparing an outfit.
Yeah, that'd be fun, yeah. Yeah, that'd be really interesting.
You think they'd allow me in?
Yeah,
of course, yeah.
They'd have to.
I mean, I wouldn't...
I don't know why I'm talking like that.
But you might sort of get envious of the fact that the stuff that I'm wearing is something that you might want to be wearing. You might want to, I don't know, rip it all off my back.
Well, I probably will, do you?
Okay, no problem. Moving forward, we're still actually in Bang Bang's Quick Six here.
Oh, sorry. No,
it's quite all right. It's quite all right. No, I don't want you to be succinct, Anna. I want you to ramble and, what was it, burble?
Ramble, bimble.
Bimble, yes, I like those.
Chinwag with Sister Bang Bang.
Sister Bang Bang's Quick Six.
Bimbling forward. Question 5. Mum or dad?
Mum. Because she's my favourite. No, that's a lot. That's bad, isn't it? I just think I probably have a better relationship with my mum than my dad. Not that I don't have a nice relationship with my dad, but I think my dad comes from a very kind of blokey, kind of working man's kind of background kind of thing. So,
and you're nothing like that.
I'm nothing like that. God bless him. He tries, but he still can't kind of talk about the whole gay thing, and definitely not the drag thing. And whenever he's seen kind of pictures, or when he found out that I was in a film where I kind of played someone that was very camp and stuff, like, it should have been something that he was quite proud of, because, you know, it was a big film, it was kind of released and stuff. And my mum was like, oh, your dad couldn't watch it. He found it really scary. He found it quite, you know, and that's just something that he finds difficult, I think, and that's something that I've kind of come to realise, that he doesn't not love me, but it's just something that he can't get his head around, I don't think.
Well, I suppose...
And that's fine, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, no, absolutely. I suppose in some ways, you know, dads just can't cope with a screaming queen as a son, really.
Exactly. I don't know, it's really bizarre, though, actually. When I go back to Darlington, that's where I'm from. I don't sound like I'm from Darlington, do I?
Whereabouts is Darlington?
Darlington's near Middlesbrough, so County Durham, which is the northeast. So I should sound like kind of like Hua and Mua and Shua and all that.
Did you Newcastle and all that?
Yeah, all that. So it's not too far from Newcastle. So it's funny, like, when I go back home, like, my accent kind of starts changing because my mum kind of beats it out of me, basically. So she's like, it's not Coke, it's Cork. And, so you get kind of it knocked back out of you. And actually, like, I'm not as camp and I'm not as, which is quite bizarre. I start going a bit silent and start kind of not really having a voice, really. I start going very into myself.
So you wear black clothes and paint your room black and all that.
Yeah.
You're heavily into Human League and New Order and all that.
Oh yeah, I do love the Human League.
I do. They're coming to Manchester this year.
Are they?
Yeah, September.
Oh, very cool. We should go and watch them together.
As Adam Palactic and Sister Bang.
Of course, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, big glitz and glamour.
Yeah.
Why not?
Trouble is, they might kick us out for the spotlight being on us rather than them.
Maybe.
Bang Bang Quick Six with my lovely guest, Anaphylactic. The last one.
Okay, oh, number six. We're on six, okay.
Number six already. Go on, have a little sip of just to lube her tonsils.
Right, go. Ready. Go. Ready.
Glitter or tweed?
I'm going to go for tweed, actually.
Oh, yes.
I am. I do like glitter, but like we said before, I kind of dabble with glitter occasionally, but it's not like... it's not my favorite. I like a bit of twit. I like a bit of a kind of power suit. A bit of. I do like a bit of tweed or houndstooth or that kind of thing.
Yeah,
that kind of a bit kind of Margaret Thatcher-y, really. No, I hate her. That's the part. I love. Yeah, I know.
I'm just about to kick you.
I know. Yeah, kick me under the table. No, I hate her. But I love that kind of that aesthetic. That kind of wearing kind of a bit of an 80s kind of power suit and kind of. That kind of thing, but playing with that actually, and kind
of. Yeah, you do actually. Now you've said that. I mean, I've often seen you in your shoulders are quite wide, and your hips and your waist are quite narrow, aren't you? You've got that kind of going into it, and then the flared out bit for you, it's sort of a.
Yeah.
Yes.
I love kind of playing with that kind of older woman kind of thing.
Do you get people coming up to you wanting you to dominate them?
How do you mean?
Well, you said the Margaret Thatcher look. I mean, flipping neck, because you wasn't backwards about slapping behind.
Well, I like a powerful woman. I do. I like having that kind of air about me. Yeah. Yeah. I certainly think as well, like, I've had a few kind of with conversations with straight men.
Little bunny ears going up there with your fingers there.
My little bunny
ears. Straight men.
Straight. But, yeah, it's quite interesting because they're straight, but they want to kind of see a drag queen. so I don't think that's straight, really. But I don't know. Who am I to argue with them, to be honest?
If that floats the boat.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that was Bang Bang's Quick Six. Is that all right for you?
It wasn't that painful, actually. I thought it was quite scary, but
I love to see the pain on people's faces when I'm describing Bang Bang's
Quick Six.
That's my power trip, isn't
it? Yeah.
Okay, well, you are listening to Chinwag with Sister Bang Bang and my lovely, lovely guest, Anaphylactic.
Hello.
Instagram. Yes, your sister is on Instagram, and it's the only way to see all my wonderful, gorgeous photos. And some of them are even suitable for your mother to see, but not many. So, prod your finger over to Instagram and find me, Sister Bang Bang Ladesh. You know you want to.
Bang's Chinwag.
Yes, Sister Bang Bangladesh here with my lovely, lovely guest. Oh, ever so chatty. This is fabulous. This is Anaphylactic.
Hello, everyone.
Now, you said earlier you were from Darlington, was that?
Yeah, Darlington, County Durham.
So why did you move to this gorgeous and amazing bohemian city of Manchester?
Well, I moved originally for drama school and then toured around with lots of different jobs. and moved to Wales for about a year and a half, and then moved back to Manchester because it's my favourite place, I think.
Why?
Because it's a big city and there's lots to do, but then you kind of run into people all the time. And yeah, I think it's quite a friendly city, actually. I think it's and very cosmopolitan and very, very gay, actually.
Very cool. Very queer. I know, it's queer as fuck, isn't it?
It's queer as fuck, yeah, I love it.
Before you went to America, okay, so you were an American virgin, you'd never been there.
Never been.
How did you plan for it? What was going through your mind at the moment? Because, like, I've never been to America. What the hell am I going to do?
Well, we kind of made connections with a few different people to kind of go gigging, like, across America. And then, obviously, we kind of were headlining Austin Drag Fest, and we've got two kind of slots to fill. And then Peaches Christ, the big drag queen from San Francisco, found out that we were going to Austin Drag Fest and going to LA, and asked whether we could maybe go a little bit earlier to San Fran to do a show that she'd been planning to do, which was Spice Girls, the stage show.
Ah, so it's different in a way then, in that you're not really planning something totally different. It's you're slotting into a production in many ways. Then.
Yeah, so the stage show with Peaches, and there's a script and kind of, and characters kind of assigned, so you're kind of playing a part. But the other places that we're going to are kind of doing numbers and collecting dollars, which is very different to anything that we do over here. Apart from at Char Char, actually, we've got drag dollars, which are fake dollars that are issued at the door, and we sell them for charity as well. So people wave them like they do in America. So we've kind of got an idea of what it's going to be like, but obviously you don't know until you go over there what it's like to collect them.
Well, it is fascinating. I went to America back in the late 80s with Lily Savage.
Oh, really?
And we'd neither of us ever been there before. And I was just helping out, the dressing and all that sort of thing. And Lily used to wear these thigh-length leather boots. And at the end of the act, everybody was stuffing these dollar bills into the top of his thigh-length boots. And he got more money in the top of his boots than he did, from the management.
Really? That's hilarious.
I suppose it's one of those cultural things. We're not used to that over here.
Yeah.
We don't see that sort of engagement with an audience over here.
Yeah.
America. Love it.
Love it.
Love it.
Love it.
Yes. What are your plans then, once you get back from America for the rest of the year? What's Hannah got in the bag?
Well, there's all the kind of regular gigs that I've been doing, kind of hosting and continue with Char Char. We come back to Char Char's third birthday, so third year. So in May, we come back. So we've got like a big event planned for that. It always goes a bit bigger at the birthday. And last year we kind of we did the Wizard of Oz kind of theme, so it became a very interactive theatre piece, but in a club. So we had the whole story of the Wizard of Oz performed. So we had kind of Dorothy Gale arriving to Char Char, basically, so kind of stepping out into this technical world full of drag and glitter and wonderful stuff, and introduced to kind of the Rubber Boys, and introduced to the Drag Kings, and then kind of meets the Wicked Witch, me and Glinda Cheddar, and then kind of meets all of the characters. You have the Scarecrow, the Tin Tran, the Cowardly Lion. The story finishes. So this year we're hoping to do a similar thing and kind of have a big kind of interactive story.
How the hell do you rehearse something like that?
It's mad and very time consuming, but I think it's worth it. It's right. It's really good fun.
It's like herding cats.
It can be sometimes hurting the drags, yeah. But it's great fun, I wouldn't change it. But yeah, we've got that coming up. And then I'm doing another theatre piece. I did a theatre piece earlier this year called Life's a Drag, which is all about the history of drag in Manchester. And oddly played part of my own drag family, which was a made-up character, but based on kind of the family Gorgeous. So it was kind of about two drag queens that meet backstage at the theatre, and one's kind of a very old school, kind of older drag queen, and I played kind of one of the newer generation, kind of inspired by RuPaul's Drag Race, kind of, and they kind of meet and clash, but very simple story, how they kind of learn from each other and kind of end up kind of connecting in the end and realising that there's not that much difference between either of them, really. But we did that at the start of the year, and then through that I've been asked to do a production called Die Diana, which is quite interesting, about the 20th, I think it's the 20th anniversary of the death of Princess Diana, but there's three characters that kind of connect and associate with Diana, and one of the characters is a drag queen who has an act called Diana, which is quite a bad act where she dresses up as Princess Diana. Lots of really awful, it's quite an interesting character. She's quite dark, not like me really, but a drag queen anyway, so I got a part.
Just to lead back briefly to you were just talking about that theatre production you did.
Oh yes, Life's a Drag.
Life's a Drag. How did you get involved in that? Because that's actually quite different from your week on, week off sort of drag act, isn't it? You had to learn lines, it was a production.
And sing, do live singing and things.
Oh, right.
Which not a lot of people know that I can do, because most of the stuff that we do at Cha Cha and on The Village and what's become quite popular is the kind of lip sync. So obviously which is a whole kind of, people think lip syncing's easy and it's not at all. There's like a whole technique in itself to lip syncing, learning someone else's rhythms, and you know, if you drop it then the magic kind of breaks and people know that you're not kind of doing it. That is because I kind of have a history of theatre anyway, and then I'd worked with the artist Jez Dolan, who used to be a sister. I'd worked with him on a project called the Polari Mission a few years ago, and was an actor in that, so I wasn't a drag queen in that, but then this came up, and I was cast as the part, because obviously I've got the acting, but then, you know, I'm a drag queen as well, so it was kind of looking at the history of drag in Manchester, and obviously the Family Gorgeous come up in recent history as being quite...
I suppose in a way your sort of formal education in terms of drama and theatre helped you a lot in developing characters and, you know, getting out there and doing the drag, because it is a form of theatre, isn't it?
Oh yeah, definitely, yeah. It's all kind of met each other and come together in a
big sort of glittery tweedy ball, isn't it?
Glittery tweedy, I like that. Glittery tweedy ball of fabulousness.
It is, isn't it? Yeah. Have you any yearnings to go back doing more serious stuff?
I think I might do, actually. Like, I got a bit of a taste for it the start of this year, working with Andy and Jez and stuff. And I think we might be doing that again, because it kind of sold out all three nights.
Same production again?
Yeah. So they might be kind of redoing it.
I'm glad, because I missed out on that. I couldn't get tickets for
loads
it.
Loads of people couldn't get tickets because it sold out. It was only 3 days, but they want to kind of do it again, and I think it would work, actually, in a bigger venue and stuff. So everything's already there, and I think kind of working on it a little bit more would kind of take it somewhere else. So, yeah, I think there's talks.
We like talks, but until it's, you know, signed on the dotted line.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
then we know it's going to happen.
Exactly.
Anything
exactly.
like that.
Yeah.
Anna, thank you so much for joining
thank
us.
Thank you for having me. It's been lovely.
It has been fun. It's been a decent cup of coffee's worth.
It was all right, wasn't it? I'm glad we ended up here.
Last thing before you do go, though, and I ask everybody this, what would Anaphylactic like to see on a gravestone?
Oh, I don't want to see anything on a gravestone. I don't know. Oh, she had a lovely time. Didn't she have a lovely time? Smell like that, yeah.
Okay.
Nothing too dreamy.
And so to the epilogue. And I'm reminded of a personal motto of Father Charles Urnwick, who said, "I wouldn't like to have lived without ever having disturbed anyone." Disturbed as in rattled the cage or caused heated discussion over an opinion. Now, a lot of my fellow sisters have strong opinions, and that's part and parcel of being a sister. To question morals, to give another often differing opinion, to shake people out of apathy. It's important to remember that we're not against religion. Many of the sisters subscribe to their own personal faith. What we don't do is sit and accept some of the shitty dogma that goes around. What is dogma, though? I found this. A principle or set of principles laid down by an authority as incontrovertible truth. The dogmas of faith. If it can stop a person from developing into their true self or instill guilt, then we're damn well not having it. And we go out of our way to question and counter that. And in doing so, we disturb others. And that's good. Damn, I didn't get into all this to make cakes and sew cassocks. So, thanks to Father Urnwick for giving me a top bumper sticker there. I know I wouldn't like to have lived without ever having disturbed anyone. Rock on, Father. Lots of love. Bang, bang.
Coming up on the next edition of Chinwag.
Oh, there was such debauchery. My clothes were ripped off. I was ravaged by Mr. Joe King, the new Mr. Leather UK. Well, that was my desire. But we did manage some decorum, but it was hard. Sorry, I mean difficult, when such a handsome, woofy man was sat smiling at me. Join me next time as I chat at length with Mr. Leather UK, Joe King, only on...